As you heard, coming from Luke, the 24th chapter, verses 44 through 53. This morning, as I have gone through this passage of text, it's interesting as this is Christ still appearing to his disciples, having that conversation with them, reminding them, as he reminds us, of the things that must be proclaimed, the things that have been spoken of that must be spoken of again. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. As we're going to the Lord in prayer, I must be reminded that we need to prepare, that we need to pray for the McKay family's daughter, Elaine McKay. She was attacked by a student in New York. In this attack, she suffered a brain concussion, a broken nose, bruises, and a swollen face. We also need to be in prayer for her daughter, Amelia, because of this situation, we're very distraught. So before we pray for the service, let us have a prayer for Elena and Amelia. Heavenly Father, again, we pause in the midst of this service, in the midst of this sermon, to lift up to you the McKay family, Amelia and Elena. Father, praying that you would bring healing to not only the daughter for the attack that was suffered, but to bring healing to the granddaughter for having to go through this, or having a parent to go through this. Father, we know that you make no mistakes. So we're asking that you would lift up and you would bring comfort to both the mother and child. We ask this, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Again, as we go through this passage of text, we find that Jesus has said to his disciples, "These are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalm must be fulfilled." He went on down and he said, "Repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations." So, Father, we understand that these things must be proclaimed. So, Father, we ask now that you would hide this body, that only you would be seen. Father, again, that you would touch these lips so that only you are heard. Father, that this empty pitcher would be filled by you. Come now and have your way. Come now and allow this message of these things must be proclaimed. Allow it to be heard by those you've given ears. Allow it to be felt by those you've given a heart. And allow it to be used by those that you've given a will. Now is the time, and this is the place, for you to show up and show out as you do always. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I find it quite interesting that as Jesus is appearing before his disciples once again, as it's getting close to its finality, he shows them his flesh. He allows them to touch him. He has broken bread with them. But he reminds his disciples that the words that have been spoken about him in the Old Testament, he had to come to fulfill. These things that were spoken about him had to be fulfilled at this time so that they might believe. As we've discussed Christ coming to earth, why he came to earth, we have realized that he had came to be that sacrificial lamb. That he came to carry our burdens on his shoulders. He came that we might have a right to eternal life. One that is free of sin. One that is free from death. In this passage of text, Christ is before his disciples, letting them know that he has fulfilled for someone to come and save them, because that saving happened now. The funny thing that I think about as I go through this passage of text, that in today's society, today's time, we treat Jesus as the Pharisees treated Jesus. We're still looking for Christ to come and to save us, and we fail to realize he has already been here. He's already taken on our burdens. He came to live a life, to understand what it is that we're going through, and that as the mediator, he can speak with one of authority, one of understanding. So now, as his disciples, as his followers, it is our job to proclaim these things, that repentance and forgiveness of sin comes in the name of Jesus. As I close our services every Sunday, I remind us when it's time that the altar is open, that no man has a hell to pull you out of, nor a heaven that they can put you in. Only Jesus can do those things. Jesus is the one who stands in judgment of you for the things that you have done and the things that you have not done, for the things that you speak and the things you do not speak, for how you love your neighbor and who you chooses to be your neighbor. When it comes to Christ, when it comes to his sitting on the throne, sitting high and looking low, he reminds each and every one of us that there are no big I's or little U's in his presence. Just like there is no big sin or little sin, they're all sin. And when it comes to Christ, we are all his brothers and sisters if we believe. Repentance for the forgiveness of sin has to be proclaimed in his name. In other words, if you've made a mistake, if you've done something wrong, that you humbly repent. In other words, you vow not to do the same thing over again. And if you vow in his name, if you make that promise in his name, trusting and believing on what you're saying, rest assured that in Christ you will not make that same mistake again. My brothers and sisters, text tells us that we have all sinned and we have all fallen short of his glory. And because he knows these things, and it's because we sin knowingly and unknowingly, that Christ still stands in the gap for us, we cannot look down upon somebody else. We're often reminded that before we can pull a speck out of somebody else's eye, we must deal with the law of the plank that is in our own. The sin that we carry around, the sin that we do, we must find cleansing of our own sins before we can do for someone else. So, as we're going out spreading the good news, spreading the gospel, and as the women have discovered, as we have discussed, gospel is just a term that means the good news. As we're out spreading the good news to everyone that is brought in our path, we're spreading the good news that Christ died for our sins. That Christ came that we might have a right to eternal life. And that if he came and he died, that he is coming back to claim those who belong to him. So my brothers and sisters, those that are brought into our path, we must remind them that we have all sinned and fallen short of his glory. But in the name of Jesus, washed under his blood, that we still have a right to eternal life. So we must be reminded that we're to love everybody no matter what is going on. No matter what they've said or what they've done, it's all about love because God is love. Again, I remind you, we may not have to like We may not like what they say or do, but my brothers and sisters, just as we wake up every morning, we do things and say things that God does not like, but he still loves you. So as you're out talking to others, remind them that God loves you, and so do I. And even though you've done some things, in the name of Jesus, we are forgiven. So as you're going out, do not judge. Scripture reminds us that the way we judge someone, we will be judged ourselves. But it must be proclaimed that you are free. You have been set free from sin and death in the name of Jesus. And as Jesus told the woman who was caught in adultery, if no man can find anything against you, neither can I. So I ask you this morning that as you go out, remind folks that there is life. Life after this life, and that you can have life more abundantly after this life if you repent of your sins and you believe in Jesus as the Son of God. These things must be proclaimed, that he came and fulfilled all that was said about him in the laws of Moses and was spoken of him through the prophets and in the Psalms. These things must be proclaimed, that he came, he conquered, and he will come again. These things must be proclaimed, that as a child of God, you are loved. These things must be proclaimed. This, my brothers and sisters, is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.